I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. 1 Timothy, chapter 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. 1 Timothy, chapter 3. The Bible says, and this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love and for your word. I ask you to be with us tonight. Lord, I certainly don't feel worthy to be standing here, and I don't feel worthy to preach a sermon quite like this. But Lord, may we take what we hear, and Lord, may I grow in this. Lord, may this church grow in understanding the role of a pastor. We'll thank you for what's accomplished. We give this time to thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As Paul continues instruction to Timothy on how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, we come to the part of the scripture where it begins talking about the officers of the church. And we find here in chapter number 3 that there's two official positions or two official officers that God declares that are to be in every church. We see pastors and deacons. And in this sermon, we're going to take a look at the pastor, the position of the pastor, the office of pastor. And there are three words in the New Testament that describes a pastor that are given to us. Number one, we read the term over and over again of bishop. That means overseer, ruler. And that's a proper noun. It's always talking about a person. And then another word we find is elder. And there it's talking about spiritual maturity. And it's description. It's adjective. It's a description of a person. And then we see the word pastor. It's a combination word. And it's a shepherd. It's one that tends herds or flocks and guides as well as feeds. And so we see these three words given to us, but they all describe the same office. And the Bible says here in this chapter, verse number 1, that there should be a desire in the heart of a man to be a pastor. And I think we need to understand this. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. This is not talking about a burden, but a desire. Desire means to stretch oneself, to long for, to covet after. And one must have more than just a burden about a place. He must have a desire. That's what this is talking about. That's what we need to understand. And Paul was writing to Timothy, and he was helping Timothy to understand, and the church at Ephesus to understand the need, first of all, for a pastor, but not just any pastor, the pastor that God has for that place. So we go on, and we see should a man have a desire, that there's more qualifications given to us about the office of a pastor. And I want us to look and see what the Bible has to say. This is good for all of us to know. It's good for me to review and to understand. But you need to know these things. What is a church? What is a pastor? What is a deacon? What's the need? What's the requirements? What do you see? First of all, let's look at the requirements of the pastor. The Bible says in verse 2 and 3, a bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. So as we read these verses, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, spells things out concerning the requirements of the pastor. And he notes certain things that a pastor must be, and then he also gives some things that a pastor must not be. And I think the list is pretty clear and pretty simple, don't you? He spells it out, but we're going to look at these one by one very quickly. The Bible says a bishop must be blameless. Now I want you to put beside in your Bible, if you write things down, it does not say sinless. It says blameless. And when it says that, it's talking about keeping things out of their lives that would bring a reproach. And then it says that he is to be the husband of one wife, so he's to be a man and the husband of one wife. The Bible says if a man desire the office of a bishop, the husband of one wife means not divorced and remarried. This is what the Bible says, and the Bible is clear on these things. Then it says to be vigilant. That means temperate and discreet. Wise caution. Use self-control. This is something that has to be in a pastor's life. And then it goes on and says to be sober. That means to be serious-minded, but it doesn't mean that he can't have a sense of humor. Thank the Lord for that. Amen? I like to cut up as much or probably more than most people do. I'm glad that God's given me a sense of humor. And every time I look in the mirror, I'm really glad God's given me a sense of humor, and I'm glad that God has a sense of humor. That was supposed to be something that would help you to see that I have a sense of humor. That's talking about coming to wise conclusions. I think we need this. I think pastors need to be serious-minded, but they also have to have that sense of humor. They have to be able to talk with people. And you ever met somebody, a pastor, a preacher, and you just felt like, you know, they couldn't, you couldn't communicate with them. You felt so inferior. I don't think anybody would feel inferior to me. If you do, I want you to know, I think it's your fault. Because I'm not much, you know. I'm not real smart. I'm not real gifted. I'm called, I'm saved, I'm called of God, and I'm happy about that. But being serious-minded does not mean that we have to be so stoic, you know. And then it says of good behavior. It means to be orderly. While vigilance, talking about wise caution and sober, is coming to wise conclusions, of good behavior means wise conduct. And when it says of good behavior, if you'll remember a few weeks ago we talked about the woman's role, and this word of good behavior comes from the same words that are used for modest apparel, chapter number 2. So we're to have a good demeanor and fulfill our duties as well. It's something that we're to take on. This good behavior is to be a part of our life. We're to be clothed in good behavior. That's what this is talking about. Then it talks about being given to hospitality, to love and to care for people. And I think this is what we need to understand as pastors and as people, is the problem that people have. Their problem is not the person. The sin in their life is what the problem is. And we're to love the person in spite of their sin. Does that make sense? We're to love the person in spite of their sin. By the way, through the ministry, I've known things about people that nobody else has ever known. And nobody else, Lord willing, will ever know. Not from my mouth. Because I wanted people to be able to love somebody and not to know all these things. Because sometimes we have a tendency, we know something, then we think less of people. And certainly there is that's there, that they have to get it right. But sometimes it is so good to not pick and point out all the problems that a person has and allow them the opportunity and the time to get it taken care of and to get right with God and to keep people in a place where people can still love them in a church. Sometimes it don't happen. Sometimes there are open things that take place that cannot be stopped, that cannot be quieted, that cannot be hidden. By the way, if it's something that's going to bring harm or danger or reproach to the church, we have to handle it a certain way. The Bible teaches us that. That's why a pastor is to be given to hospitality. Any pastor that is ready to jump the gun and to point the finger and to call every sin and every name out is not fulfilling this requirement. We're to be hospitable to love people. You want to know why I think it's easy to look at somebody and to love somebody in spite of their faults? Because that same man that I look in the mirror to and realize that God has a sense of humor, every time I look at him, I see that there's a man there that has plenty of faults himself. And I don't have time to be putting everybody else down. I just need to be trying to get myself where I need to be and keep myself right with God and right with man and love people. The requirements, we better go on. Give them the hospitality. Apt to teach. He's talking about to use the skill that God gives to teach the Bible. And by the way, there are some men a lot more gifted at this than others. And I can say amen to that. I believe that we're to study and to teach people how to apply the Scripture and how to help people to listen to the voice of God. I wish I were a better teacher. I really do. But I try to teach the Bible. That's why we're going through this book of Timothy. And then it goes on and it says there in verse number 3, you notice it says not given wine, not given to no striker, not greedy, filthy lucre, but then it says another thing there to be is to be patient. It says but patient. Do you see that? But patient. I'm skipping. We're going to get the be nots here in just a moment. But that word patient means forbearance. It means leniency. It means when we're dealing with people, we don't rush to criticize. We listen to people and we try to teach instead of dictate to them. Right? It's hard to do sometimes. And you have to have patience with this. So there's some things we're to be. But then look at this. There's some things that the requirements of the pastor are some be nots. The Bible says be not given to wine. Does not drink alcoholic beverages, what it's talking about. There's a lot of things that could be said there. I believe this is really and truthfully talking about drinking for pleasure, drinking even in moderation. I know that the Bible says, Paul in this same book is writing to Timothy and says, use a little wine for the stomach's sake, for medicinal purposes. We understand in those days this was used as medicine. And people start talking about The wine of today is not the wine of then. Fruit of the vine wine is totally different than the wine today and the process and all that goes through. So don't try to stretch it and make an excuse where the Bible says it's all right to drink. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red. Be not drunk with wine, the Bible says. It's foolish for us to try to take the Bible and give ourselves an occasion to sin. It's foolish. Be not given to wine. Then it says, be not a striker. Not always looking for a fight. Not to be contentious. Now I want you to know this is going to rule out many independent Baptists that I know. Not given to vine. Look, I know some people, they want to bring stuff up just to cause an argument. And to be quite honest with you, I think they're tools of the devil. Just try to wreak havoc in somebody's life. Now, there's always good debates. There's nothing wrong with that. But somebody's always trying to do that. You know, and if you all probably not been around preachers in groups the way that I've been around preachers in groups. I know how preachers are. And a lot of them contentious, you know. A lot of them strikers, if you will. They always want to strike out at something. Strike out at this. Strike out at that. Be not greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, you don't use the ministry to make money. That's not talking about you get paid as a preacher. It means that you don't use your influence in the ministry. In other words, I don't get up here and try to sell you some kind of product, or some kind of policies to use my influence and say, you know, if y'all will sign up, then that's going to help me out. That's being greedy of filthy lucre. That's using the office of a pastor for something that God did not intend for it to be used for. May the Lord help us. Not a brawler, argumentative, quarrelsome, always fussing, and be not covetous. Not a lover of money. I believe one way to keep that from happening is for the pastor to always be a tither and to give sacrificially. It works. It works. I want to stand here. I want to tell you this. And this, I'm not bragging. I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you, I'd rather give everything away that I have that I possibly can and know that God's going to take care of me. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not good about this. But we have always tried to be a giving family. Always. And I've told you the one time in my life when I didn't tithe and my wife just about strung me up, you know. We've tithed. Always. We've always given the way that God would, has put in our heart to give. And sometimes even when we didn't have, we've given. Now, I'm not saying that to say anything good about me. I'm just saying that God has proven Himself to us over and over and over again. And He will always prove Himself. Always, when you do what God wants you to do. Now, by the way, if you want to give $10,000 or something and get up and tell everybody about it, then I wonder if you really have the right motive. Right? I know one pastor, one preacher get up, and that's why it was hard for me to even say what I just said, but he got up and he started telling everything that he gave. Everything. You know, and he wanted people, I guess, to pat him on the back. And I thought, you know, God knows. Why don't you be faithful? Maybe he was just trying to encourage people to give more. I don't know. But I'm just saying, these are requirements of the pastor. Then we see the ruling of the pastor. This is unusual for to hear that, but notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he will fall into the condemnation of the devil. The pastor, the Bible says, is to rule his own house well. Now, rule doesn't mean that you dictate. It means to take the leadership, not dictatorship. It means to manage, to take care of things. And the test of the calling is measured more by the success of his home than the success in the church. That's what the Bible is helping us to understand here. In chapter 3, you're going to notice the pastor and deacon are both told to rule their houses well, but only under the qualifications of the pastor does it go on to read, how shall he take care of the house of God? And we don't want to get ahead of the scriptures, but the pastor is to be the leader of the church, but not the dictator, but the leader of the church, just as the father is to take the leadership and to be the leader in the home. A lot of churches are board-run churches. But the Bible says the church is to be pastor-led. Pastor-led is only as the pastor is following the leadership of the Lord, by the way. I know a lot of churches that are pastor-led, but they're really not led anywhere. They're driven everywhere. And I don't want to ever be that kind of pastor. May the Lord help me. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, talks about elders that rule well. See, that's God's plan. This is the way God wants these things to work. But the Bible also says in verse number 6, that is to not be a novice. And I think one of the most dangerous things is for someone that is newly saved and newly surrendered to take the office of the pastor. I always worry. You know, when you grow up in the country, where the country church is around. I didn't grow up in the country. I grew up in a small town. A lot of times there's these small churches, and as a young boy gets saved in the church, and then he surrenders to preach, they need a preacher, so they just say, why don't you be our preacher? There's no wisdom in that. Not to say that the young man might not be a great pastor eventually, but the Bible specifically says, not a novice. Not a novice. So this is things that we need to see. The devil can easily tear up somebody when they're a novice. That word novice means to be newly planted. It means they're tender, they require attention. And with that being the case, if a pastor was to be a novice, in other words, just newly saved and surrendered to the ministry, you think about what the devil can do to that young man's life. Or if they have success, they succeed according to the world standards, just imagine the pride that could destroy them. Because they'll start thinking, look at what I've done. May the Lord help us. The requirements of the pastor, the ruling of the pastor, and then the report of the pastor. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. The Bible is speaking here of his testimony, his character. Talking about those outside the church and what people have to think and to say about him outside the church. This deals with everything from paying bills to what your neighbors think about you. You'll never have the ability to reach people if people don't like you. You can't influence people when you're abrasive and harsh. The pastor is somebody who needs to be approachable and have an interest in the lives of people. And he... Somebody has even goes to the point of having the character to pay their bills and to be a good citizen. Doesn't mean that he'll never struggle. Doesn't mean that he won't go through difficult times. But he should do his best to never overextend himself. Have that good testimony to those without. Look, you think this is an easy message for me to stand up here and preach? Because I don't want you to think that I'm the epitome of a great pastor. When you look at me, I'm realizing as I go down through these things, much need for improvement in my life. But we've always tried to be people that cared for other people. I've always tried to be friendly. We've always paid our bills. Always. And by the grace of God and the help of God, we always will. We're trying to get to where we don't have many bills. You know? The Bible says, owe no man anything. Doesn't matter what you do, if you owe somebody, you owe them. Unless that particular person forgives the debt, you owe them. Because that's what the Bible says, especially for the pastor. Report of the pastor. The Bible says if you don't do this, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Let me tell you what the devil does. Every flaw you have is magnified by Satan. Every flaw. You ever see a teenager look in the mirror and they see a pimple? You know, I can't go out. My kids aren't looking at me too much right now. You know, yeah, I remember when I was a teenager, I really didn't care. But just for the sake of the story, because I really don't know who else to compare to here. But we know the typical teenager, they look in the mirror and they see a pimple on their face, usually right on the end of their nose or right here, you know, it's in an obvious spot. And they say, it's big as a quarter. And I'm sitting there looking going, where is it? It's magnified. The devil magnifies everything. And you'll fall, a pastor can fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil if he's not doing these things. So what do we do? I said all these things. Talk about the requirements, the ruling, and the report of the pastor. The pastor has to take care of the character. You know, I wonder why I start a series of sermons knowing that I'm going to have to deal with a pastor. And you can tell it's a different way of me delivering this because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I need to do so much better. But there's things you can do with this sermon. Number one, you can pray for your pastor. I always pray. Whether you're here or somewhere else, you always pray for your pastor. Love the pastor and his family. Encourage. And realize that they're human too. The office of the pastor is a serious office. And it's not an easy one. And if God doesn't call you, then you shouldn't do it. But if God does call you, there's something in you that makes you want to do it. Right? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. I ask you to be with us tonight. Lord, as we think about this and we go in line through the Bible, through the book of 1 Timothy, as we think about the position of the pastor, I recognize these requirements, Lord, such a great area of improvement. As far as the ruling and being what I need to be in my home, help me to be a better husband and a better father. Lord, as far as the report, help me to be what you want me to be. Help us, church, to always pray for the pastor. Help him, Lord, to pray that he'll be led by thee. And Lord, as I follow you, I pray, Lord, that we'd be willing to follow your leadership. Be the right kind of church, being a pastor-led church. Now, Lord, have your way. I'm really not sure how to conduct this invitation, but Lord, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit of God has dealt with people for those that need to come. I pray that they would. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand our feet quietly.